tweet at TodaySOR.
The government took in a record €3.1 billion in corporation tax in November, thanks to another windfall from multinationals. Almost one in every €5 in tax collected by the Exchequer now comes from corporation tax, and it has provided a €10 billion boost to the economy, with the government increasingly reliant upon it to solve spending overruns. But Pascal Donohue, the Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure, is warning that the government cannot ignore the clear and present danger of a fall off in corporation tax receipts. He joins me now on the line. Minister, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Sean.
You were saying yesterday, you were speaking at the Institute for European and International, the Institute for International and European Affairs. You say change is coming. What changes are coming?
So there's two changes coming. The first change that is coming is a group of companies that have been immensely profitable over recent years. We can no longer bank on what they will look like in the future. We can no longer assume, and they don't assume, that the levels of profitability they've had in the past will continue indefinitely in the future. And the second thing that is going to change is there is a big focus now on corporate tax policy across the world. And at a point in time, very large economies and very large markets will decide that they want more tax revenue in their own country. And we can influence that. We can protect our own tax code. But there are certain decisions that others can take themselves that will affect us. And we're getting ready for the consequences of that now.
You and your predecessors have been bedeviled by accusations that this country is something of a tax haven. You've insisted that is not so. We obey the international rules. But there's a perception out there, I suppose, characterised by a motion passed in the European Parliament that we are such a thing. Now, that's something you have to grapple with. So what kind of changes do you think you might have to prepare for, led or at the behest of those bigger countries?
So we'll make the changes ourselves. We're not going to be led by anybody. It's our responsibility to lead. The most important thing that we can do to ready ourselves for change is what I confirmed yesterday, that for this year, we will have a surplus of €1.4 billion, which is an increase in what I had previously indicated. Much of the additional corporate tax revenue that has come in is leading to that higher surplus. And that I've indicated that by at least 2022, we should aim to have a surplus of 1% of our national income, which would be around €3.8 billion. So it's no longer about saying we could have a risk in the future. It's not only saying that risk is there, but saying we're now taking action to get ready for it. And this particular year, where various changes in the tax code that I've made over the last 2 years are now influencing our revenue, we have a surplus coming in. That's the essential key step now in getting ready for change that others may do and changes we will make ourselves.
And is it likely as a result of those changes internationally that Ireland will be less attractive as a location for foreign direct investment?
I believe overall we will continue to be able to protect and maintain our competitiveness. Ireland doesn't get the credit for the huge array of corporate tax policy change we've already made due to the kind of political debates you've referred to yourself. But I believe we will still be able to retain a corporate tax code that will be very competitive, but also many other things in our economy and in our society that matter, like the quality of our education. And you'll be aware of the really good results that were acknowledged yesterday in terms of literacy, scientific ability amongst our young pupils. Our investment in infrastructure, which we are making big progress on, those things will matter even more in the future and will be the new form of competitiveness that we're building in our country today.
Yes, and as you've pointed out, capital spending on things like schools, hospitals, roads, housing and so forth has more than doubled since 2013. It's up at €7.4 billion, I think, this year. But a concern of a lot of people, and indeed some of the agencies which advise you, Minister, is how some of this money, and substantial amounts of the windfall on corporation tax, which is by definition non-recurring, has been used to fund recurring or day-to-day expenditure. Like, for instance, despite a €1.1 billion increase in the health budget this year, you've got to add another €300 million. The Christmas bonus wasn't provided for, I don't think, in the budget. Another €300 million. You know, is that the sort of spending, current spending, that has to end, in your view?
Well, actually, we can manage that kind of current spending, both now and in the future. We just need to do it differently.
Current overspending.
Yes, and in relation to the two different points that you've put to me there, Sean, first in relation to the level of additional funding that a number of government departments needed this year, more funding did have to be made available to a number of government departments, including the Department of Health, but it was significantly smaller than any other year recently. And that additional funding that was needed, I included in my budget plans for next year, just as the Irish Fiscal Advisory Council called on me to do. And secondly, this is why the surplus that I'm indicating today and did yesterday is so important, because the way in which we now plan for the kind of potential reliance risk that you're dealing with is by running growing budgetary surpluses, by collecting in tax and not spending all of us for fear that the tax might not be available in the future, which will then lose us jobs, affect living standards and affect our ability to give good public service to our citizens.
The
surplus that we will deliver today is a key part in how we will continue to do that.
But, for instance, the Taoiseach was saying last Friday that higher stamp duty as construction picks up might compensate for any hit to corporation tax. Now, is that not a bit dodgy by way of financial planning?
Well, what the Taoiseach was saying there last week, and he's absolutely correct in this, is that stamp duty, as we build more homes, which we are doing, and as we build more commercial property, is part of what broader tax revenue could look like in the future. But as the Taoiseach has said on many different occasions, in order to have a diverse and resilient tax policy overall, we need lots of different income streams coming in. That's what we now have due to, for example, changes in the VAT rate for the hospitality service. Due to what we have now done with carbon taxation in the country, we've made those changes. But crucially, in addition to all of this, we no longer need to talk about the need to deliver surpluses. We actually need to deliver them. And with this year, with a surplus of 1.4 billion euro, which will be a figure that will be bigger than, you know, the year-on-year growth and how much corporate tax that we are collecting, it's no longer talking about the need to make our kind of how we spend money more resilient. It's actually doing it. And if and when we deliver our Budget 2020 plans, which will happen for next year, that will be another big step in giving people the improved public services they deserve and also ensuring that the way in which we fund these services is safer.
Minister, you had the no confidence motion last night in the Housing Minister Owen Murphy, your party colleague. Now, again, it was won by the government, but not all that comfortably. Does that increase the likelihood of a general election early in the new year?
The plan is as it still is. The Taoiseach has indicated a general election timing of potentially before the summer. I think himself and Micheál Martin have talked across the April to May period. We did, you're correct, win it by a number of votes there last night, but we did win by a majority. And the government will continue to do the work that it needs to do in getting more homes built, dealing with the needs that our citizens have, and making progress not only on Brexit, but on the issue that you and I are talking about here. So that timing is unchanged, and we have a huge amount that we're very eager to do on behalf of our country.
Minister, I just want to have a slight diversion or digression, go back to our main story earlier this morning. Our newsroom has learned that the former Defence Forces member Lisa Smith is to be charged and will appear in court in Dublin this morning. Now, that's not a matter for you or me to talk about, but just to go back to what we're talking about in the political sphere, the Fine Gael seems to be, well, to an extent under siege at the moment because of not just the loss of the four by-elections, but also the behaviour of some of your candidates. You've been quite critical, for instance, of Verona Murphy in Wexford. And again, there seems to be something of a political pong coming of your colleague Darren Murphy's claim for full expenses at a time when he wasn't actually fully serving his constituents or at least attending Parliament in all the sitting days.
Well, look, just to deal with each of those in turn, first of all, to deal with, which, as you rightly say, isn't a matter for either of us in terms of what's going to happen with the court case in relation to Lisa Smith. What this reminds me of, and I heard your very careful and nuanced discussion of it before I came on, is that citizenship is a very, very demanding concept at times. and we're always aware of the responsibilities and rights that citizens have. But states have responsibilities as well, and we also in particular have responsibilities to citizens who can be very vulnerable in very difficult places abroad. The decision that has been made in bringing her back to our jurisdiction here is the right one to take. But now what is going to happen is an impartial process is now going to commence, and that's the right thing to happen. In terms of the second question you put to me about my overall party and where we are at the moment, you know, Sean, as well as I do, that it's very, very hard for governments ever to win by-elections. Parties who were in government for a lot longer than we have been never won them.
But did you not win three of them in the last Fine Gael-led government up to 2016?
I think it's quite different, though, when you've four happening together at this point in the political cycle. They came together in a particular way. Turnout in a number of them was quite low. And what it reminds me of is the need to continue with the work that we're looking to do in government and to continue to challenge us to make it more effective and better for those that we serve. And in relation to your phrase of a pong in relation to the party, you know, I've been on your programme many times over many years when things have been going well for us or we've had difficulties like you're putting to me here today. And I think the best response to all of that is to, you know, keep at our work and keep on trying to explain, as I've just done to you, how we're trying to make things even better, particularly for people who are in need in our country.
I wasn't, when I used that phrase political pong, it was about one specific thing. It was about the expenses claims by Dara Murphy. You probably read Father Peter McVerry's letter in the Irish Times yesterday. I mean, as Finance and Public Expenditure Minister and also a senior figure in the party and head of in charge of election strategy, I mean, are you embarrassed by what Dara Murphy has done?
Look, the work that Dara Murphy was doing and the work, the political work that he was doing for us in Europe does have a role to play. But as I said over the weekend, there are questions and matters that do need to be resolved in relation to the claiming of expenses and questions that
do
need to
be answered. What do you want him to do?
Well, I think what he's already indicated he's going to do. There would be questions put to him regarding his attendance record across the period in question. And my understanding is that Dara Murphy, that Dara has agreed to answer questions in relation to that matter to the relevant Oireachtas body. I've worked with Dara Murphy over very years. I worked with him when he was Minister for European Affairs. I saw how hard he was working then and how effective he was as a minister. But equally, in recognising that effectiveness, I also want to recognise the concerns that listeners will have in relation to an issue like this, and those matters should be answered.
And the Taoiseach was saying yesterday that you need to move away from the regime whereby rules for politicians are set by politicians. So how do you envisage the rules governing the claiming of expenses by politicians being changed?
So currently what happens at the moment is the policy in relation to that is much of it is set by my own department, and then the oversight of it then rests within the Oireachtas. Quite a number of different issues have now developed now over the last number of weeks. I think there's two things that we will have to look at. The first thing that we will have to look at is how the issue of declaring that you're in your workplace has actually been done. It's currently been done by FOBIN. That works in many workplaces across our country. Are there other ways in which that can be done? Can we look at what other parliaments are doing and see how that can be, if it can be improved? And then the second thing that we then need to do is in terms of the oversight of all of this, see if there are changes that are needed that can be made. The expenses regime and the way we have of assessing whether politicians are in Leinster House has worked for much of the time. But as I said a moment ago, issues have now developed that I want to see addressed. You know, I am, you know, work as hard as I can as a member of government and as a TD. I believe politics is a really vital trade and craft. And, you know, I get very concerned when I see a profession that already has a diminished reputation, having that reputation been eroded even further.
And self-inflicted erosion, you would presumably accept, Minister.
And this is why I've made the point. As I said, Deputy Murphy has said he will provide the information and underpins these claims that those matters do need to be answered and clarified.
Yeah, but I mean, just last question on this, Minister, and I know you've got business to attend to, but is it surely not in the first instance a matter for the Fine Gael Parliamentary Party to ask those questions with him in the room?
Well, I think it goes back to the point that you made, though, a moment ago about the risks of politicians overseeing other politicians. And I think, you know, this has been a matter that has been debated within Fine Gael. But we do have structures within the Oireachtas that are charged with overseeing these matters that are then accountable to the body politic. I think we should allow that to happen. I think we should allow the material to be provided by DARA. You know, we always acknowledge the need for due process, for if questions are but to allow them to be answered. I think it's appropriate that it happened here. But I also want to underscore the acknowledgement that I have of the issues that this does raise for many of your listeners.
Minister,
and I'm anxious to see that dealt with.
Minister Pascal Donoghue, Minister for Finance and Public Expenditure and Reform, thank you very much.